give the Lord a prayer and a shout, and then we'll get going. Well, let's pray first. Father, we thank you. Thank you for our time together. Father, I pray for each person here, every mind, that every single mind will hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us. Father, open us up. Give us enlightenment about others, but also about ourselves. Father, I pray you'll bring a Holy Spirit conviction on us when we allow ourselves to be manipulated and then when we manipulate others, and I ask you to help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, give him a shout and a hand clap. All right, there you go. Good deal. Be seated. We're in our series. The series is called Handling Difficult People. It's been fun. We've talked about handling critical people. We've talked about handling overly needy people. And today what we're going to be talking about is handling controlling and manipulative people. Now, these people don't like to be handled. So if I say something that kind of steps on your toes and you get mad at me, then that means you're a controlling and a manipulative person, okay? Just go ahead and get on you right now. So just covering that base to start with. We find these people all through the Scriptures. In fact, nearly on every page, at least in every chapter, we find somebody trying to control somebody or somebody being manipulated by somebody. It starts in the book of Genesis. It starts with Adam and Eve. Eve manipulated and controlled Adam a little bit, right? You say so? And it starts right there, and it goes right on through the Bible. You go on through, you Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Sarah was a manipulator and a controller type person, and she controlled and manipulated Hagar, a superior. I mean, Hagar was Sarah was a superior to Hagar, but she respected Sarah. And they kind of lived together, and of course, Abraham was Sarah's wife. Abraham was Sarah's husband. There we go. I'll get it going here in a minute. And then you go on through, and every seems like every person that you meet or run across, like Jacob and Esau, that's his own brother. He's manipulating his own brother. Then Uncle Laban manipulates Jacob, controls him, right? So relatives happening here. You go on through, even Miriam and Aaron manipulated Moses. Brothers and sisters and people in this great move of God, and yet we see this controlling and manipulation thing going on. Go on through the Bible, like Samson and Delilah. Now, that was a good one. Lovers. We find that Delilah is manipulating and trying to control Samson. You remember the story that she was going to get some gold if she could find out the secret to his strength and then turn him over to the Philistines. And so I want to read you this one, because I think we start getting some insight into controlling and manipulative people by looking at this particular story. So it's in Judges chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. So we're going to show it to you and read it to you. It says, "Then Delilah pouted." That's the silent treatment, you know. This is one of the tools that a manipulator will use. And she says, "How can you say you love me when you don't confide in me?" Guilt. "You made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong." So day after day, she nagged. How many men might understand just a little bit about what Samson's experience? I'm kidding, girls. I'm kidding. I'm kind of kidding. She nagged him until he couldn't stand it any longer. Finally, Samson told her his secret. Wow. I want to read this to you from the King James Version, because I think it uses a word that I may use later on. In Judges 16:16, it says, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily that her word with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed." Unto death. We find this consistently in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. How many think that people attempted to control and manipulate Jesus? Think so? One of his closest apostles, closest friends, Peter, tried to control and manipulate him. Remember that one? And Jesus actually said to Peter, "You're being Satan to me." I'm going to talk about that one a little bit later. But every page, every chapter, every book, you find somebody trying to control and manipulate someone, and someone being controlled and manipulated. But they tried to control and manipulate Paul, the apostle. One of the ones that I wanted to relate to you, because I think it's insightful, is Herod, King Herod. They called him king. He was actually a governor. He had this little area that he took care of. And he had taken, the Bible says, his brother's wife, Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias. He had taken her from his own brother. And John the Baptist says this wasn't good. And John the Baptist preached openly about that, which got Herod really upset and Herodias really upset. And so Herod had John the Baptist arrested and put in prison. Well, while John the Baptist was in prison under Herod's deal, Herod had a birthday. So Herod had this big bash. He threw this big party for himself. And he invited all his buddies and all these important people to his birthday party. And I guess under the influence of alcohol and the atmosphere and the seduction of the moment, his stepdaughter, Herodias' daughter, did a dance for Herod. It was obviously very provocative. And Herod said, in front of all these people, said, "I'll give you up to half of the kingdom. What do you want? You just name it and I'll give it to you." Well, the daughter went to her mother and said, "Hey, here's what he said. What do we want to do?" And she said, well, and Herodias was very mad at John the Baptist. She says, "You tell him we want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And they got it. My point in telling you that story and relaying that particular manipulation and controlling to you is that controlling and manipulative people are dangerous. They'll cut your head off. They're dangerous. And so I want us to see this first off. And there's a point, though, that I really want to make to all of us, a very important point that I want to hit off the top. In all of those people and situations that I relayed to you, it wasn't people that was distant from a person who controlled or manipulated them. It was always somebody very close in their lives. On the back of your gateways, I want you to take some notes, if you will. One of the first fill-ins there is that particular thing. Usually the manipulator was or is a very close acquaintance. Think about that. Think about that. Adam, Eve, husband relationship, husband, wife. Sarah, Abraham. Hagar and Sarah, a person that Hagar respected and admired. This person manipulated her. Esau and Jacob, brothers. Laban, Uncle Laban and Jacob, relatives. Wherever you look, Jesus and Peter, very close. What I'm wanting you to see here is that the people who attempt to control and manipulate us are usually people that we really care about, people that are close to us, and most frequently people that we love. Flipping that around, the people that we control or manipulate are people that love us or respect us. And we take that love, we take that position in their life, and we use it to get from them what we want. This is the manipulative person and the controlling person. And today what I want to try to do is speak to both sides of the fence, the person who is manipulated and controlled, but also the manipulator and the controller. So this is what I'm attempting to do today. So how does a person handle a controlling, manipulative person, especially when this is somebody that's close to me, somebody that I love, somebody that cares about me and somebody that I care about? How do I do this? And you may be sitting beside that person right now. Hello? And you need to know this is a dangerous and a temperamental situation. How do you do this? How do you handle it? So here are some things that I want to do. So here's your next fill-in for you that, if you will, if you'll take this note down, this is the first thing you've got to see, is you got to understand the tools of a controlling and manipulative person are these. They come in two forms, basically. Different forms of threats and different forms of guilt. And these things are implied or at least insinuated. Are direct. They're either direct or indirect, but they come to us in basically two forms: threats and guilt. Let's talk about threat first. The threats that a controlling person or a manipulative person puts on us, we sense immediately when they're around us, when they're close to us. They walk in the room, and all of a sudden we feel that we've got to perform. And if we don't perform the way this person wants us to perform, then they're going to punish us. Somehow they're going to punish us. It's very difficult to say no to a controlling person or a manipulative person. So these are the things that you begin to feel. You feel this threat. You feel that they're going to come at you or come against you. Let me give you a couple of examples. Say at work, you're working and you have a supervisor or a boss, and they will threaten you or give you this thing that if you don't perform and do right, they're not going to give you the promotion, or they may terminate you. In a home relationship, in a marital relationship, it's a threat like this. And it comes on both sides of the fence, the husband and the wife. They'll say something like this: if you don't do what I want to do or give me what I want, I'm not going to do what you want or give you what you want. I want to hit this one, and I want you teenage girls to really listen to me on this one. In a relationship, people manipulate one another. And to a teenage girl who might find herself in the back seat of a car, the manipulation and threat would go like this: if you don't do what I want to do, I'll break up with you. And you always sense this threat. You always sense this inability to say no. And guilt is the same kind of a way. Guilt works in the same sort of a situation. Delilah used guilt on Samson, as I showed you. She gave him the silent treatment, and I'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But she put this guilt on him, and she said, "If you really loved me, you'd tell me." It may come like this to you: after all I've done for you, after all I have done for you, and you treat me this way, and you got this guilt piled on. A child experiences this so much. A child already loves their parents and their uncles and their aunts and all these things. And there are controlling and manipulative predators, but most times it's somebody that's very close to them. And a child loves their parents, and especially when their parents have suffered a divorce. Both parents want the loyalty of the child, and a controlling or manipulative parent might do this: if you won't go over there and say, because what they're really wanting to do is get to that ex. They're wanting to punish that ex. And so they'll use this child, they'll manipulate this child to get to that ex. And so what they'll say is, if you won't go over there this week, I'll take you and do this. Or I'll buy for you this. But if you go, I'm not getting you nothing. And that child is vexed for the rest of their lives. That teenager that I relayed to you a while ago in that backseat is vexed for the rest of their lives. And controlling, manipulative people cut your head off. They're dangerous. They mess with your mind. So, the things they use are going to be these two things. And so when you sense these things coming, this is the first thing you've got to recognize. Is this person threatening me to manipulate me? Is this person using guilt to manipulate me? That's the first thing. The second thing that you got to do is this one. You got to do number two. It's on the back of your gateway. You must recognize you are being controlled and manipulated. You must recognize. And you might say, "Delbert, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Everybody realizes they're being controlled and manipulated." No. See, if you've been controlled and manipulated for years, in fact, probably since you were a child, you have become a doormat. You have a doormat mentality that people just walk on you. And especially a controlling and manipulative person will walk on you. And you really don't realize you're being controlled and manipulated, because it's just been the way life is. This is how you live life every day. And you don't realize it until all of a sudden something like this happens. When somebody says to you, "Listen, here's how this works." And it dawns on you, "You know what? This person does make me feel threatened. This person does make me feel guilty." So you realize you're being controlled and manipulated. You have to realize this is happening to you. You have to identify, "I am being manipulated." The Bible tells us the story about Peter and Jesus, and I told you a while ago I was going to tell you this story about it and relay it into what we're talking about. Jesus had told his guys, he said, "Listen, guys, I'm going to be arrested. They're going to take me, they're going to beat me, they're going to mock me, they're going to humiliate me, they're going to scourge me, they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die." Well, this thing rose up inside of Peter. This controlling and manipulative thing rose up inside of Peter. And he began to try and attempt to control and manipulate Jesus. And from that story, we can get some real insight into how you handle controlling and manipulative people. So I want you, if you will, to imagine this happening. I want you to see this happening because it's probably happening to you, or either you cause it to happen to others. So let me read this to you. It's in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 through 23. It says this. Peter took him aside. Would you say aside back to me? Aside. Now let me stop there just a second and work here. What a manipulative and controlling person will do is try to take you aside, away from other people. Two reasons. One is they don't want everybody to know they're a controlling and a manipulative person. They don't want people to know that about them. And then secondly, they know that they can get you separated from people who give you strength, people who will tell you you're being controlled and manipulated. If they can get you aside, they can control you and manipulate you. For example, a husband who is a controlling and manipulative person will do this way easier in their home, alone from everybody else, than they do in public. So what Peter did was take Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. This vocal thing, this putting this guilt, this threat thing on you. And he began to raise his voice to the Lord. He says, "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Now, I want you to get this. Jesus did what? Turned. And said. What did he do? It's important. Turned and said. Now I'm going to work on that in just a few seconds. Just want to make sure you see it. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." What do you think? "Get behind me, Satan." I want you to see there's an attitude here. Get behind me, Satan. Would it be safe to say that being controlling and manipulative is satanic? Would it be better if I said it this way? If a person is controlling and manipulative, they're being used by Satan. "You behind me, Satan." And then he goes on and he says, here's why he said that. "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Some people say, well, what difference does it make if I am comfortable with being a doormat and this is how it works in our home? Then why make the problems? Why stir up the sparks? Why cause trouble? Hear me. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. If you allow someone to control and manipulate you, you are not allowing God to control you. You are doing the will of that person and not the will of God. That person has become a stumbling block to you. He or she is trying to get you to do his or her will and preventing you from doing the will of God. Was Peter a bad person? Did Peter love Jesus? He loved Jesus, but Peter's will was not God's will. And what a controlling and a manipulative person becomes in our lives is a stumbling block. And they stop us, they hinder us, they cause us to stumble doing what God's called us and planted us here to do. And so much doesn't happen in the kingdom of God because of control and manipulation. I mentioned all those people a while ago to you about the people that use this and use that to control in different things. Do you know preachers use control and manipulation? We use guilt. We do things to you like this. If you really love Jesus, if you really love Jesus, you'd pay your tithes and offerings. If you really love Jesus, you'd be at church 8 days a week. If you really love Jesus, you'll respond to my altar call. See, the implication is this guilt thing, this threat thing. And so Jesus said, "Listen, Peter, it ain't going to work." So you got to recognize a person is controlling and manipulating you. You got to first identify the threats and identify the guilt that you feel. then you've got to recognize that this person is controlling you or attempting to control you. So those are the first two things that you have to do to handle a controlling and manipulative person. And then the third thing is this. The third thing that you've got to do is you must verbalize it and physically express it. What did Jesus do? He turned and said. He physically expressed it and he verbalized it. You got to get to where you can say, "Whoa, you're not doing this to me. Whoa, you may have done it all of these years, but whoa, we're through now. We're gonna do something different here. I'm not going to let you control and manipulate me anymore." And you do it with an attitude. Jesus didn't say, get behind me, Satan. He said it with attitude, don't you think? He said it seriously. And I don't think that if you don't say it with an attitude, that you don't verbalize it seriously, that it's not going to change anything. I've been doing this for 21 years. And over these 21 years, I've had people attempt to control and manipulate me using everything. Using everything from money, giving money, to leaving the church. And you know, I've learned over these years that rather than my bowing down to that, something inside of me rises up. And I'll say really fast, "Get out of my face." It's something that happens, you know, and if you know me for any length of time, you know that I'm not nearly as bad now as I once was with the attitude I get. But it's still in there. You see, you got to come to a place where you just realize that you're not going to be controlled and manipulated, and you have to come out with this attitude. And if you will, you'll find out they'll back off. They'll back off. Here is what I really want you to see. And here's your next fill-in on your gateway, the next thing I really want you to get. See, if you allow someone to control and manipulate you, you are committing a sin. And it's the sin of idolatry. So, where do you get that? In the book of Exodus, we're given the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And the first commandment reads this way. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol." Now, an idol is anything that we put before God. Anything that gets in front of what God wants us to do. "You shall not have an idol in the form of anything," or we could say anyone, "in heaven, above, or on the earth, beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." See, when you are doing the will of someone else and not doing the will of God, it is idolatry. You're committing the sin of idolatry when you allow someone to control and manipulate you. You got to get to the place where you can say, "This isn't going to happen to me anymore." And when you allow controlling and manipulative people to control and manipulate you, you have become dysfunctional. You have become a puppet waiting for your master to pull your strings. So the first thing you got to do is you got to, first of all, realize they have tools, and the tools are threats, and the tools are causing you to feel guilt. The second thing you got to do is you got to realize they're using them on you, that you're being manipulated and controlled. And the third thing you got to do is you got to face this thing. You got to visually, formatively say something to it. You got to verbalize it, and you've got to physically show, "Hey, it ain't going to happen anymore." And then the next thing you got to do, the fourth thing that you have to do, is you have to redefine the relationship. Jesus redefined the relationship with Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus said, you know, first of all, "Peter, I'm the leader." But what I want, Peter, in this walk that we're in, is I really want you walking with me. I want you supporting me. I want to walk with you. I want to support you. I want to help you fulfill God's will for your life. I want you to help me fulfill God's will for my life. Now, if you're going to get in front of me and manipulate me and cause a stumbling block, then just get out of my face and get behind me. You have to redefine the relationship. You have to let it be known. You're not going to be manipulated. What you have to do is let the person know, listen, I am way more interested in pleasing God than pleasing you, which is your next fill-in. When handling, controlling, and manipulative people, you must let it be known that you are more interested in pleasing God than pleasing the controller and the manipulator. Where you get that, Delbert? You know, and you go through this husband-wife thing, and you know, I'm trying to put all this together. And there's a difference. How many knows there's a difference in home order and control and manipulation? Are you with me? There's a right way of doing things, but yet there still enters in control and manipulation. There's parenting. Does it mean that because I tell my kid, I, if you do this, I'll bless you, and if you... No, that's the way God does us. But there's a difference in parenting and controlling and manipulating, right? You see what I'm trying to say here? So don't just take this and put this in and use it on your husband. Or kids, you use it on your parents. Kids, don't go home today and say, Pastor Delbert said, you manipulate me. That ain't what Pastor Delbert said. Let me show you this in the scriptures. People tried to control and manipulate Paul. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, obviously. I am not trying to be a people pleaser. Paul was constantly trying to be manipulated. And he says, hey, it should be obvious to you by now. It ain't going to happen. He said, no, I am trying to please God. Now, I want you to see this. If I were trying to please people, I would not be what? I would not be Christ's servant. When I allow controlling and manipulative people to handle me, I am not serving God. I am serving that person. I don't think you want a pastor who can be controlled and manipulated. I don't think you want somebody to be a teacher of the Bible to you who can be controlled and manipulated. What if I let people control and manipulate what I get to share with you? How many think you'd be hearing this one? You see, it's so important. I must please God. I must please God. And anything and anyone that becomes a stumbling block, I've got to identify it and confront it. I want to talk to those of us, here I'll say this, who are controlling and manipulative people. You know you are, just like I knew I was. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, no more than it meant that I was a bad person. But what I want to try to do is show you why you're that way. Why you feel you must control and why you must manipulate. It comes from fear. And it comes from insecurities. When I did my most controlling and manipulating and stuff like that with people, it's because I just didn't know who I was. I didn't trust God to show them who I was. I had to prove to them who I was. I am the pastor, bless God. I don't need to do that anymore. You see, I was raised in the corporate community. I was raised in manufacturing. And in the corporate world, it's the strong and it's the controlling who survive. And if you don't, you just get ran over. If you're not strong and controlling. And so when I came to the ministry, I attempted to run a church like I was trained to run a business. And all I became was a stumbling block to people. I hurt so many people. I would totally destroy their faith. I would totally got them off track for what God wanted them to do in their lives. See, eventually, what's going to happen to all of us is though, see, if you're a controlling and a manipulative person, you have tremendous confidence in your abilities. You're a strong person. You know what you can do. And so you have tremendous confidence and faith in you. But what you don't have is confidence and faith in God. You have way more faith in you than you do in God. But what's going to happen one day is you're going to come into, like I did, a situation that you can't control. And you're going to have to totally give it to the Lord and let Him have it. And what you're going to eventually learn after you've damaged and hurt all these people is that God can control things a whole lot better than you can. And what you eventually learn is this: the thing that you think you're trying to control and manipulate is actually controlling and manipulating you. And you're being used by Satan. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want to speak to four groups of people. The first group of people are these, those that you know you're being controlled and manipulated, and you may be sitting beside this person, but I'm going to ask you to be extremely honest. I'm going to ask you in just a second to raise your hand, because I think you must identify and realize that this is happening in your life. I want you to realize that when someone walks into the room, they use these tools on you, the tools of guilt. They use on you the tools of threat. A controlled and manipulator will yell and scream and cuss. They'll start throwing things. They want control back. And what they want to do is get control back. And so it gets bad. Sparks fly. And I promise you, before it gets better, it'll probably get worse. Because they're not used to you not letting them control you. But you're tired of it. And you want to get free from it. The first thing is recognize the tools. Second thing is to do what we're doing this moment. Realize you're being controlled and manipulated. The rest of it's up to you. You've got to turn and face it and say to it, I'm not going to have this anymore. And you got to redefine the relationship. If that's you, you know there's people in your life that attempt to control and manipulate you, and you want to get free from it and you're ready to make some changes in your life. Would you raise your hand right now and say, yeah, Delbert, I do. I know it. I see your hands. Now, some of you aren't being honest. It's not going to change until you're honest. Let's raise your hands again. If you know and people are in your life that needs to be, they're trying to, okay, see your hands. Oh, good. That's better. That's better. All right. Good. Good. The second group of people is the group that I would fit into to be a controlling and manipulative person. You got to want to change. You got to want to see that you're a stumbling block and you hurt people. All your yelling and screaming and cussing and throwing stuff, pouting. You know what you do. All that's not helping anybody. You're just driving people away and becoming stumbling blocks. But you want to get free from it and you want to stop being used by the devil. If that's you and you say, devil, yeah, I can be that way. I can be controlling and manipulative. And I'm ready to learn how to trust more in God and less in my own abilities. If that's you, would you raise your hand? No, come on, be honest with me. I see you. Come on, raise your hands. Some of you aren't being honest. All right, put your hands down. I'm sorry for you. Third group of people that I want to talk to is you don't serve God the way you serve God, and maybe you've gotten away from Him and maybe never received Him. Simply because you see God as a controlling God. A God that gives you all these do's and don'ts. Can I tell you the truth? That is not the God I serve. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible has a plan for your life and a perfect will for your life where you can have the most abundant life you can possibly imagine. But He will never control and manipulate you. He'll let you run your life. And maybe you haven't ever come to Him because it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts to you. No, no, no. He died for you. He loved you so much. He gave His life on Calvary's cross for you. He shed His blood for you so you could have a great life, so that you wouldn't be controlled and manipulated. Then the last group of people I want to talk to is maybe you haven't served the Lord because of this reason. The reason that you don't serve the Lord is because you are a controller and a manipulator, and you can't control this God. You're right. You can't. And that's a good thing, because a day is coming in your life when you'll want a God who can control the situation that you can't. I promise you, if it hasn't already happened, it will happen. So I want to pray for those last two first. You know, you've gotten away from the Lord and you're not where you need to be, and you don't want to serve a God that's always controlling you, or maybe you don't want to serve a God that you can't control. And I've tried to identify that and speak that to you. So what I want you to do, if you're not where you need to be in the Lord right now, but you want God to be in your life, because see, you'll never be able to be the person that you want to be until you let God into your life. But you want to right now. I want you to raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I want to get closer to the Lord. I see your hand. Any other hands? I see your hands. Any other hands? I see your hands. I see your hands. Any others? Any others? Any others? Come on. Come on. Come on. Father, I bless them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll draw them into the kingdom of God. No man can come, Lord God, except the Father draw them. Draw them by your Spirit, Father God. I ask you, draw them, Lord God, by the people that they're around. Draw them, Lord God, by your word. Draw them by prayer, but draw them into the kingdom. Father, let them serve a God of love, not a God of control. And I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Now for the first two bunch that we mentioned. I want to pray for you together. Father, I ask you to bless these people that are being controlled and manipulated. Give them the strength and the courage to face their Peter. And with an attitude, say, it ain't going to happen anymore. I am more concerned about pleasing God and not committing the sin of idolatry than I am concerned about pleasing you. I pray you give them that strength and that courage. And then, Father, for those who are controlling and manipulative, Father, I pray, I break the power of Satan right now in Jesus' name. I pray they've seen today the damage they do, the heads they cut off, the stumbling block that they are. And I ask you, Lord God, that they identify that and they stop doing it. And they learn to have confidence in you and not in their strengths and in their abilities. And I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rejoice and let's all receive this word. Amen. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen.